It says here there are many major structural features that allow man to walk upright. So we're going to look at why they say, you know, there's this transition that takes place and Lucy walked upright. And we've debunked those and looked at how the evidence they put forth for the these transitional species between man and ape, how they don't fit with the actual evidence and how it's all actually falsified in order to get us to believe a certain doctrine. So here's the major structural features that allow a man to walk upright. He has to have fine balance, a flat face to look ahead, an upright skull, an S-shaped curved spine so the head and trunk are balanced over the center of gravity, extendable hips, large forward-facing knee joint aligned under the hip joint with its mechanical axis behind the line of gravity. These are things that are necessary in order for us to walk upright. And am I on? There we go. Okay. Wide curved pelvis, angled femur bones, fully extendable knee joints that lock in the upright position. That's important. Monkeys don't have that. Their legs don't lock. So, you know, we can stand there and lock our legs and we're able to stand upright. Long legs, arched feet, strong big toes tightly. This is important right here because if you remember these strong big toes tightly bound and aligned with the other toes as opposed to the big toe of apes, which is like a flexible thumb. If you remember when we were looking back at Lucy and how they showed the, you know, the artist's rendering of her and her toes, her feet looked like human feet, even though that's not what they found. They found her with like, kind of like our hands are, with the toes separated from the rest of them. Well, in order to walk upright, you need feet like we have, and monkeys don't have that. The ape would have to evolve the amazing human hand, and we're going to look at some of that here. And, oh man, I should have done this. I forgot to bring it. I was going to do an experiment with some of you. Let me see. We could still do it. Isaiah, will you run in there and grab some tape for me? I'm just curious, who wants to do this just for the rest of this service? Just tape your thumbs down. Seriously. Brother Clem, anyone else? Has anyone ever tried it? You'll try it, brother? All right, just try it. I've done it before. Just tape your thumbs down for the rest of the service. I'm serious. Like, if you have to go to the bathroom or anything, getting food afterwards, holding a cup, just try and do stuff without your thumb. Just, you're going to see. Have you ever tried to tie your shoes without your thumb? I mean, you've tried it? It's like you're like retarded. You cannot do it. I mean, there's not enough strength to like pinch the strings with your fingers. You can't do it. I'm telling you, the thumb's an amazing thing. The human thumb in and of itself. One of these scientists in here, we should get to it today, but he says that, you know, if, I think it was Sir Isaac Newton. You got it? Okay, go ahead. If you can help tape up Brother Clem's thumbs to his hand, just wrap it. So they tape, and Brother Francisco, anybody else want to try it? And these girls up here, if you'll help tape their thumbs to their hand. All right, and you got to stay, and Andrea, so just raise your hand if he doesn't get to you, okay? But you got to keep it like that the rest of the service, okay? I mean, unless you're like going to go to the bathroom on yourself or something, okay? We don't want any accidents like that. But so keep it like that the rest of the service and just let us know. I'll try to ask at the end of the service if I remember. All right, but the ape would have to evolve the amazing human hand. The ape's hand has been called the foot hand because it is designed for walking as well as grasping. Our hands aren't designed for that. Our bodies aren't designed for that. For us to be, you know, bent over. I mean, we don't fit. Look at the difference between our arm length and our leg length. It doesn't work. We have to go down in an uncomfortable position. But apes aren't like that, or monkeys aren't like that. They have shorter legs and longer arms so that it works perfectly for them. All right, unlike the ape hand, the human hand is capable of precise grip and manipulation of objects. It is capable of playing the piano and performing brain surgery. Think about that. Think about how sturdy and steady your hand can be. I mean, even just the ability to write something. Think about all that goes into that. I mean, that we have the ability. Did we run out of tape or something? Are you kidding me? Oh, man. Go see if there's more. I don't even know. Ask Mama. She's going to know. Of course, that figures. I was supposed to bring electrical tape. You know what? Look in that desk in there too, bud. All right? Okay. So just think about the ability to even write, how precise that has to be. To even write your name, how smooth that your hand is. Some of us have ugly handwriting, but even if we have ugly handwriting, we have the ability to still write, and it's legible for the most part. I mean, I had to start writing in block letters because I couldn't read some of the things I wrote. Anyway, all right, moving on. All right, a chimp can't power grip a screwdriver. Think about that. You know how we grab a screwdriver and we can just crank down on it and turn it? A chimpanzee can't do that. They can't throw a baseball. They can't play guitar. It cannot make the three-way chuck that lets us hold a pen or a brush. So like that. They can't do that. Why? Because their thumb's like back here. It just doesn't work for them. But we can. We have the ability to do that. Oh, where are we at? Okay. All right. The human thumb is so superior to the ape's thumb that it has been called the 24-karat thumb by researchers. It's superior to the ape's thumb because we are created differently. And that's what we're not getting. We get indoctrinated into this stuff to think that we evolved from that. But God created us different on purpose with different abilities. We're made in God's image. Sir Isaac Newton said, this is it right here, in the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. The thumb alone. Most of us don't think of our thumb that much, but I'm telling you, if we do this, hopefully there's tape back there, you're going to realize how amazing our thumb is and how much we absolutely need it. You're like almost useless. Your hands are almost useless without a thumb. You have no strength without your thumb. I mean, just try it. Try and throw a ball. Even just after church, you know, try and grab some. Grab a football. Grab a baseball. Try and throw it. You can, but it's like kind of like, you know, I mean, it doesn't work good. No? All right. No, sorry. Ruined that idea. I was supposed to bring tape. I forgot. All right. So in the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. Even evolutionists call the human hand a miracle of biomechanics. I'll try and do it next week because I do want you all to see it. We'll try it next week. But it's called a miracle of biomechanics. But they never explain how evolution can perform the miracles. They say, oh, it's a miracle, but they don't explain how we jump to that, how we get to that. The ape would have to evolve huge new resources in the brain to control the human hand. The human primary motor cortex in the brain is 4 times larger than a chimpanzee's. The ape would have to evolve the amazing human nervous system that is necessary to control his hands and legs in a human fashion so his arms and hands can perform feats that an ape cannot perform. We have the ability to do that. The nervous system is like electrical wiring in a building. The wires are complex nerve cells that run from the brain to every part of the body. The brain has neurons that send the signals to the rest of the body. There are 100 billion neurons in the human brain. The signals travel along the nerves at 24,000 miles per hour. That's why as your brain's telling you to do it, your body does it. That's quick. I mean, praise the Lord, there's no accidents in there, right? I mean, who knows what would happen, but 24,000 miles an hour. That's why my brain's telling my hand to do this and it's just doing it because it's traveling that fast to get that impulse to have my hands or my arm do that. The system enables the hands to do amazing things such as play the piano. Recently, scientists have discovered that the tendons in the hand themselves, this is interesting right here, are intelligent and actually perform mathematical computations to assist the hand in performing the brain's commands. So it's like they're learning, they have learning technology themselves and they're a step ahead as we're learning to do something. Our experiments show that the tendon network of the fingers performs logic computation to preferentially change torque production capabilities. That's from Neuromuscular Biomechanics Laboratory at Cornell University, Transactions on Biomedical Engineering, June 2007. This is good too. A skilled typist visually processes up to 8 keys in advance, and the tendons and muscles begin performing the keystrokes about 3 characters in advance of striking the keys. Do we have anyone that types here that can type fairly quickly? You ever notice sometimes your brain's telling you to do something as you're typing and you're typing it out? And man, it's just like it just put it there and you're like, I didn't even like realize that I told it to do that. I mean, you're telling it, but it just like happened so quick and you're just like, man, there it was and I didn't make a mistake.
Yeah, sometimes it works. I have to take notes like real time as they're talking. It's weird because I'll tell myself that I'm going to write down something, but as they're talking, I'm just writing down what they're saying. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, so you're like telling yourself, but it's already there. It's already there. As you're telling yourself, it is neat. If you could type fast, you understand that. But I mean, just like playing the piano or anything like that. I don't play the piano, obviously. But I mean, just think about all that's going on when you're playing the piano. I mean, you're having to work your foot. You're having to read music. You're having to do different things with different hands. I mean, that takes some skill right there. An ape cannot do that. The research shows the uniqueness of the human hand. Our results highlight the biomechanics uniqueness and versatility of human fingers by showing that the nervous system and tendon network work synergistically to reach different regains of torque actuation. So the nervous system, the tendons work together is what it's saying, synergistically, synergy. They're working together to have a common purpose. to reach different regains of torque actuation, what the fingers are going to do, the amount of power and or whatnot that's going into your fingers. Scientists are finding this intelligence everywhere. Moreover, this form of information processing at the macroscopic scale is a new instance of the emerging principle of non-neural somatic logic found to perform logic computation such as in cellular networks. So our fingers are performing this computation. The ape would have to evolve human intelligence to be able to do this. And they're not doing anything like any of this stuff here. I mean, none of this is happening. The apes aren't doing that. Okay, because they don't have the intelligence that we do to be able to do it. All right, and none of this explains where man's thoughts originate in the first place. The brain is a biological machine. It does not explain man's thoughts. This is important we understand this. Because even the ability to do this doesn't explain our thoughts. Only a God-given spirit can explain that. And again, you can get into the whole philosophical debate about morality and whatnot. Where does morality come from? Who says it's wrong to kill somebody? If we're just animals, I mean, right? Survival of the fittest. Here's what it goes back to. If we're just animals, who says it's wrong to kill someone? Who says it's wrong to discriminate someone based on their skin color, based on their religion, based on their sexual preference? Who says it's wrong to discriminate someone for any of these reasons unless God exists? Because then there's nothing wrong. I can do any of this and I'm just going through these processes that are given to me, these electrical impulses that are within me. You can't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. How can you say that? You know, let's use the argument. I was just born a murderer. That's what they're using to push their abominations. I was born a murderer. I can't help it. I was just born this way. No one's defending that. I think that's ridiculous. Murder's wrong. So is any other sin that they're trying to promote by saying I was born this way. See, evolution doesn't explain any of this. If evolution's true, we can pretty much do what we want. What happened at Columbine, nothing wrong with that. What those boys did, they went and shot that school up and killed those people. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with it. If evolution's true. Because who are you to judge and say that it's wrong? See, the real life implications of believing this nonsense. This is absolutely what it leads to, and it has led to the deaths of millions of people because of this belief system right here. But only a God-given spirit can explain man's thoughts. That's it. We're made in the image of God, and we think like God. And we have the abilities to reason like God. The Bible says, and turn to Isaiah 1:18, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. This is God speaking. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But he says, let us reason together. Why do we have the ability to reason? Because we're made in the image of God. And he can reason. And he says, let's reason together. Let's deal with your sin. Okay, we have the ability to do that because we're made in the image of God. The ape would have to evolve human speech. And man, they learn young, don't they? Look at that little girl. They know how to use these phones. But the ape would have to evolve human speech, which they cannot do. They haven't done. John Mackey said, the ability to speak is built into human brains. The potential to speak any language is hardwired into the brain. Think about that. Any language. Humans could learn any language. I mean, it's possible we can learn any language. Where people grow up, they just start picking it up. They'll learn that language. It doesn't matter where they're at. The child's brain takes in analysis and resynthesizes the language it hears. The muscle control needed for speech is very complex and comes built into the human brain. Speech involves precision control of breathing muscles as well as the face, tongue, and larynx. This does not exist in apes. Neither does the precise control of the arms and hands and hand required for writing and drawing. It doesn't exist. In the 1970s, a chimpanzee named Nim Chimpsky was raised as a human and taught sign language. He could not understand anything more than simple commands. The longest string of signed words Nim ever signed was, give orange, me give, eat orange, me eat orange, give me, eat orange, give me you. After years of training, Nim lacked the language capacity of a human toddler. But look, they put him in a shirt, they try and humanize him. And he looks cute, doesn't he? Yeah, that's a cute little thing. But look, it's not a human. They try and make him like one. Years and years of training him, and that's all he got. All of these miraculous changes would have to occur at the genetic level by blind mutations. Again, it's going to be completely blind. Why would it happen then? This is evolution. This is what they teach. It's this blind mutation. It just happened to give me something that I needed that was better. But why would they start having these blind mutations that make them more weak? I mean, let's think these things through. Why would that happen? Because if you look at most apes, chimpanzees, whatever it may be, they're stronger than us. They are. They have more strength than us. Isn't that devolving instead of evolving? So why would they lose strength if it's survival of the fittest? Okay, I'll just tell you right now, here's what their argument's going to be. They're like, well, as they got more intelligent, they didn't have to work as hard. Really? You telling me that? Because we've got it as easy as can be right now. But you go back 100 years ago and life was not easy. Okay, you think about this, running from dinosaurs. I mean, seriously. I mean, a T-Rex coming after you, a wolf or something. And it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go pull out my shotgun. No, it's like I'm going to have a stone, a javelin. And that's up close and personal. I don't want to fight off. I don't even want to run into a bear in the woods if I have a gun. I'm just telling you, I don't want to. Okay, even if I'm ready. But now think about it. You're going to have to hand-to-hand combat basically with a mountain lion or something. Or a T-Rex. I mean, really, who wants to go against a T-Rex? You know, but hey, all these blind mutations are happening in order to for us to evolve to something better. I mean, the absurdity of going from a dinosaur to a bird. That's the most ridiculous thing. But this is what they teach. This is what they believe. No one has ever demonstrated that this happened or even that it's scientifically possible for it to make this huge genetic blind mutation. Never been demonstrated, never proven. It's not scientifically possible. Even speaking from an evolutionary standpoint, we must ask why Lucy would evolve upright walking and why natural selection would allow her to survive. So why would that happen? How is that going to benefit her in the life that she's already living? Or the life that her parents were living? Why? What purpose would that serve? Because remember, natural selection, it's only going to select what's best for that generation. It's not going to select things that are going to harm it. Michael Pittman, who taught biology at Cambridge University, said this: if a group of them decided to swing down from the trees and become Homo erectus, humans, okay, almost, I mean, standing upright, the next one in line, whatever, Homo erectus on the plain upright gait would be the last thing they would want. Okay, so them coming down and standing upright is what he's talking about. That's the last thing they'd want. Why? It would hurt them. Think about from one generation to the next. Mama's teaching them, hey, you swing from the tree, hang from the tree, and they're standing up like, no, I don't want to. Come on, that doesn't even make sense. It's ridiculous. If an ape gradually evolved human walking, it would start with some kind of clumsy part ape, part human walk. It wouldn't have the speed of a monkey or of a human. Okay, it wouldn't have the speed of a monkey or the speed of a human. It'd be what we would call a defect. It'd be a crippled mess. That's what it would be. It'd be like a four-winged fruit fly. It would not survive. It would die. It fights against survival of the fittest. Rolling like a boat in high seas and still wearing that tiny chimpish head, he'd have had little chance in the survival stakes. Michael Pittman. Ape men are a myth. God made man in his own image, and man is not an animal. So God, Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And there again, the bones of Lucy. That's it. But the proportions are for a monkey, not a human. The Laetoli footprints. The Laetoli footprints were discovered in Tanzania in 1978 by Mary Leakey's team. The prints were preserved in the ash of lava flow. So there's a picture of the footprints. You could see right here, here's an adult, okay, and then you have probably a child. They argue it's a wife. All right, so we got footprints, right? Okay, anybody ever been on the beach or something? You go walking, you put footprints, you know, okay, just now, let's think this through, okay, because they give us a line of what this means based on these footprints. They have all these facts down and they know everything, okay? So let's say you have a mother and a son walking. Okay, now one of those footprints is going to be bigger than the other, right? I'm talking about a younger son, okay? A younger, 10-year-old or something. And you got a mother and a son. Okay, but let's say then you have a father and a daughter. Well, one of them's going to be bigger, right? But how do you know if it was a father and a daughter, a father and a wife, a mother and a son, a mother and a daughter, based on the footprints? How do you know? You just show up on the beach, you know, someone was out there walking, you come an hour later and no one's out there, but you see these footprints. How do you know whose footprints they are? You don't. How do you know they were even walking together? What if it was just one person walked and then another person with smaller feet walked next to them, or vice versa? We don't know. We have no idea. Absolutely zero idea of what actually happened. Okay? But there's a large set of footprints accompanied by a smaller set. They could have been made by a male and a female, an adult and a child. There are also many animal prints in this, what do they call it, the Lotelli footprints there in the lava flow. The prints are used as an argument that Lucy's kind walked upright, and the prints are typically found near Lucy exhibits. So if you go to a museum, you're going to find these footprints. Typically, they put them next to a Lucy exhibit. So why? So they can look, because you're going to associate this boom with boom. And it's indoctrination. They're teaching you something. They're setting your mind up to believe a certain thing because you're going to associate this Lucy exhibit with these footprints, because they're going to say that, hey, this is, you know, Lucy walked upright, and here's the proof for it. And you're going to say, oh, there's evidence. Science says so. I've seen the scientific evidence, and this is what people use. I've seen the scientific evidence, even though some of it is false. Much of it's false. This is what they're going to tell us. All right, a Smithsonian Museum of Natural History display depicts human legs and feet with the accompanying text claiming Australopithecus afarensis made the prints. This is not science, it's storytelling. They don't have any clue who made the prints. They weren't there. They weren't there. That's like me saying Jim Bob built this building. How do I know? I don't know. Susie Q built this building. How do I know? I don't know. I can just throw it out there, though. Science says it was Susie Q. How do I know? We don't know. I wasn't here. And this building was put up in like 95. And we have no idea. We know someone built it though, right? Amen. Because it's here. So how do we know who put those footprints down? We have no idea. But this is the storytelling that goes on. And look, they got a good artist. Australopithecus afarensis lived between 3.85 and 2.95 million years ago. Wow, they've almost got it down to within a million years. That's pretty scientifically accurate, huh? There's no evidence that the footprints were made by anything other than man. Okay, the evolutionary argument goes like this. The footprints are in the same strata as Lucy's fossils, which was before man appeared. Therefore, the footprints belong to a creature like Lucy. Therefore, Lucy had human-like feet and walked like a human. All right, we got to think critically because we're not taught to think critically. All right, people don't like critical thinkers. I'm just telling you, they don't like critical thinkers. This world is going to be against critical thinkers. They're going to call you rebellious and everything else. And there's a fine line that people can be a critical thinker, but also be rebellious at the same time. So we need to watch that. Especially as I say something like this, teenagers will jump all over what I'm saying. I'm just thinking critically. No. That's not have a bad attitude or nothing like that. But I am just saying we need to think critically. Okay? Because this, their, you know, pitch line for us about what this is already implying things in it. It's already kind of getting your mind to think a certain way, just in what I just read right there. And I want you to be able to pick it apart. They're guiding us in a certain direction, saying, look, start thinking this way. All right. The evolutionary argument goes like this. The footprints are in the same strata as Lucy's fossils, which was before man appeared. Okay. Are we seeing what they're telling us here? Are we getting it? Is anyone getting what they're implying? That man wasn't there, that the geologic column is accurate. I mean, they're implying all this stuff. This is already biased towards evolution, towards a belief in evolution. We're not just looking at evidence. We're bringing all this outside stuff in to say, to form our opinion. That's what is happening right here. They're teaching us to think a certain way, but yet you get some wise people, they can make it look like you're thinking critically when you're really not. You're accepting the party line. Look, this is mainstream media. Okay, it's ridiculous here. You got Fox News, you know, conservative. And then you got CNN, you know, they're the ultra liberal, right? And so it's like we've got a choice, but they keep pushing the same agenda, both of them. They're telling us to think a certain way, but look, it's like we have a choice. No. They're all pushing the same agenda. They are, and they're all owned by like five companies. All right, anyway, moving on. Got to think critically. All right, the footprints are in the same strata as Lucy's fossils. So it's just, the assumption is that, oh, okay, then, well, this is Lucy, this is her footprints, but let's go back, her feet didn't look like that. They weren't like human feet, but that's how they draw all of them, is like human feet. So they can't be Lucy's. But most people don't know this because we're not taught it. So we just assume science teaches it. And I remember looking at the evidence. I saw those footprints there in the sand. And you could see it right there. And it was found in the same strata. It's got to be Lucy's feet. We got to think critically. But there is zero evidence to connect the Lucy creature to the footprints. It's circular reasoning. It's fiction. It's storytelling. Why? Because they're pushing an agenda. Because they come to it with their preconceived idea that evolution is truth. Rather than what does the evidence say? We've never found any other footprints that look like man's. Anytime you find it, it's a man's footprint. And that's all it's ever been. But we're going to add something different to it. Because what the actual evidence says doesn't bolster up our false idea. So we're going to have to throw some stuff in there to help us. If we apply the rules of logic to the footprints, it's easy to destroy this fable. Melvin Loeb now. We know that what the human foot looks like. There is no evidence that any other creature, past or present, had a foot exactly like the human foot. No evidence. But hey, who cares what the evidence says? We don't care. We have an agenda we need to push. Number two, Lucy could not have made the human-looking footprints. The scientific facts disprove this theory. Man, those sorry facts. The facts tell us that Lucy's feet were ape-like. They were long and curved, and her big toe stuck out. Therefore, Australopithecus could not have made the footprints. And there you can see, you know, you see the four toes, one, two, three, four, and then there's the fifth big toe. Look, that's not connected. It's separated like our hand, okay? Like an ape, like a monkey. Russell Tuttle, we should shelve the loose assumption that the Laetoli footprints were made by Lucy's kind. Let's compare a human foot with that of monkeys and apes. A huge difference. Look at all of them look like a hand. Look at that. Just look at it, how the thumb sticks out. Okay, it all looks like a hand. All of them. Except this one. Our foot's different. You're like, why are you being so obvious? Because it's so obvious. Why do we fall for it? Why do we believe it? Why do we believe it? It doesn't fit. The human foot's completely different than anything out there. Monkey, human. The Laetoli footprint. Further, Lucy was only 3 feet tall, whereas the Laetoli footprints were nearly 12 inches long. Here's my size 11 shoe alongside a model of the prints. I mean, look, here's the outline of the prints. You can see it's going like this. Man, it looks just like a human foot, doesn't it? You ever seen yours? Goes up big toe, coming down to the smaller toes, coming across. We don't see something like jutting out over here. Okay, Lucy's 3 feet tall. Her foot was probably this big. Here's a size 11. You know, whoever made this had a pretty big foot because his foot's bigger than the size 11 shoe. It's human foot. It's obvious that a small creature like Lucy did not make these footprints. I mean, what kind of a freak would she be? I mean, man, her friends would have made fun of her, you know, when her foot's as long as her leg. I mean, things should have been like freakish, but forget facts, right? Some evolutionists are saying that the footprints were possibly made by a taller member of the Australopithecus family. Of course, they have to, because obviously the evidence proves otherwise. So they've got to throw something out there. But these prints were not made by a 6 foot ape. The Laetoli footprints are actually evidence against evolution. If the evolutionary presumptions are removed, the Laetoli footprints are powerful evidence that modern man lived at the same time as creatures that are supposedly millions of years old. Okay, look, thinking critically, if the evolutionary presumptions are removed and we just look at the evidence, what does the evidence tell us? That it was a human. That it lived at the same time, if you want to go based on the whole geologic column, which is nonsense, and we'll get into that. But if you want to go based on that, then you have to admit that it at least lived at the same time as however old they claim Lucy is. Man and Lucy lived at the same time. That's what you're going to have to believe. This means either that the evolutionary dating methods are wrong, ding, 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 that's the right one, okay, they're wrong, okay, and the entire fossil strata concept should be discarded. Or it means that modern man is millions of years old. Either way, the Laetoli footprints disprove standard evolutionary thinking. All right, what time we got? We got about 5 minutes. I'm going to go to the next one. Give me just a sec here. All right, the fossil record. Now, this is good here. The fossil record is used to prove evolution, but actually it disproves evolution. The fossil record is vast. This is important right here. Darwin knew that the fossil record didn't provide evidence for his theory. He knew that. Okay, he knew the fossil record did not prove his theory. But he believed that when more fossils were found, his theory would be proved. Okay, so Darwin came out with his book, 1859. So it's been over 100 years. It's been... over 150 years since his book came out. And there's still no evidence. There's still no fossil record. There's still no missing link that proves Darwinian evolution. Today, there are 200 million fossils in museums worldwide. The fossil record. Its geological column has major problems. It does not contain countless transitional creatures. It shows creatures appearing suddenly, fully formed, almost like they were created. Go figure that one. And it shows complexity from its earliest stages, not simple life form gradually evolving to more complex life form. Even the simple cell that they thought was simple is not simple at all. It exhibits stability. The uniformitarian view is now rejected by evolutionists. Uniformitarianism is that everything happens the same all the time and it always has. Nothing's ever changed, okay? So it's going to reject the flood. The flood answers a lot of the questions that come up in this debate here between evolution and creation. The uniformitarian view was disproved by Mount St. Helens. The fossil record shows evidence for the global flood. All right, so the fossil record's geological column has major problems. The fossil column consists of layers of the earth that supposedly represent millions of years of time. There are supposed to be 3 major eras and 13 stages. The Paleozoic, 540 to 250 million years ago, the age of multicelled organisms, fish, amphibians. If you think about it, for the most part, at least as Western culture is and where we're at, this thing really got going in the early 1900s. Before this, people rejected this. And this thing has just steamrolled ahead, and now this is the accepted belief. And the reason being, partially, I mean, Satan's involved in this, the prince of the power of the air, and all that, but partially it's because Christians didn't have a good answer for it. We didn't. We didn't know what to say. This is why we're going through this, so we can at least, even if you can't debate somebody over it, that's not my concern right here. My concern is to build your faith, and they might be saying stuff that you maybe don't have all the facts at hand to disprove them, but you could stand there and listen to what they're saying and say, that's complete nonsense, and I know it's not truth. Because I've looked at the evidence, even though I maybe can't like quote something to you and tell you why what you believe is wrong, but I know for myself that it's wrong. That's why I'm doing this. I want you to be able to stand sure on the Word of God and know that that's nonsense and that doesn't even fit with the evidence. That's why we're doing this. All right, so look, here we go. Let me go back. The age of multicelled organisms, fish and amphibians. See, so we're saying, oh, simpler life forms and it gets more complex, okay? That's the argument of evolution. The Mesozoic, 250 to 66 million years ago, the age of reptiles and dinosaurs. And then the Cenozoic, 66 million years ago to the present, the age of mammals and birds. All right. Problems with the geologic column, the problem of depth. According to evolution, each layer represents millions of years of sediment that was gradually laid down. Okay, uniformitarianism. It just slowly happened over time. It's the same things. It's the way it's been is how it's always been. Okay, so according to evolution, these layers represent millions of years of sediment gradually laid down. So each layer would be miles thick, and the entire geologic column would be 100 to 200 miles thick. If what they say is true. We don't find that anywhere, by the way. I'm just letting you know. All right, this is not seen anywhere on Earth. We cannot find sedimentary rocks representing all of the earth time neatly in one convenient area. So this geologic column that should be there, right? If uniformitarianism's true, if evolution's true, and they want to use this geologic column, there's nowhere on earth where they can go and they can find this geologic column as set forth back over here when we looked at it. There's nowhere on earth that this is there. Nowhere. Not one place on earth does that exist where you could say, look, see, here's this, 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 and this. Nowhere. There are a few places on earth where multiple layers can be seen, but none of the layers are very thick and some are minuscule. This is not evidence for slow evolution. It is evidence of a great flood. Problems with the geologic column, the problem of the missing layers. Unconformities are layers in which millions of years of supposed evolutionary history are missing. So it'd be like, okay, these ones are here right here, and then 5B, A, and 4C are gone, but this one's here. So those ones are just missing, and it's lumped on top of each other. That's what it's talking about. There'll be maybe some of these layers they claim exist, but then the others that should be there that represent, you know, maybe 50 million years or who knows how much, they're missing. They're not there. What happened to that time? I mean, if that's what happened, and it's just sediment being laid down over millions of years, why isn't it there? It should be. How'd it disappear? If what they teach is true. So instead of like scrapping this and saying, this is nonsense, we just find ways around it. There are 14 major nonconformities in the Grand Canyon alone. In one place, a sandstone layer from the supposed Cambrian age called Tapetes rests on a supposed Precambrian layer called Vishnu. There are no layers between the two, but evolutionists claim that there is a billion years of time between them. What happened? What happened that a billion years just disappeared? If that's true. But I'm telling you, how many of you have seen the geologic column in your textbooks at school? I remember seeing them. Yeah? I mean, they teach it like it's truth. But it's false. It's not truth. If evolution is true, the billion years would be represented by deep layers of rock, but these layers are missing. Problems with the geologic column. The problem of fossilized trees piercing the layers. Okay. All right, here we go, right here. A polystrate fossil tree in Joggins, Nova Scotia in Canada. There's the tree right there. Fossilized. Think critically. What does that do to the geologic column? Somebody help me out. Not an adult, one of the teenagers, kids in school. What does that say about the geologic column? Go ahead. There was a great flood, that's right. That there was a great flood. How else would that get there? If it was over millions of years and that tree's standing upright through the geologic column, why didn't it just rot away? Over millions of years. Anybody ever been into the woods and you see a tree that's fallen over and it starts rotting away? It's not going to last millions of years. You guys have seen that? Yeah, that's not going to last millions of years. What would preserve it to last millions of years? The only explanation is that there was a flood that sent a bunch of dirt rushing very quickly and just buried it. That's the only way it could be fossilized like that. So the evidence doesn't teach evolution, it points to what the Bible says happened. The evidence backs up what the Bible says. Layers of earth supposedly representing millions of years, the tree piercing through the many layers. This contradicts the theory that the layers were laid down gradually over millions of years, the tree would rot away. This proves that the layers were laid down quickly and the tree was buried rapidly so that it did not rot.